This is Hitchhiking Off the Map.
She bit my nipples and it really hurt. It really, really hurt.
It felt really natural and really ancient. I felt so useful.
It was good. It was great. It was fun. It was fun having big boobs.
Oh, yes. The electric synapses in one's body do all sorts of strange connections, and I'll never forget it. Yes, as the milk comes in, it's a very strange set of electrical currents.
And then she'd get this gleam in her eye. She'd look up at me, get this little gleam in her eye, and go, chomp.
Utter, utter, utter tenderness.
And that I could be a vehicle of nourishment and sustenance.
He was born during the 1984 Olympics, and then I had a dream at night that the whole German national team was lining up to drink from my breasts.
Welcome. Hitchhiking is about journeys, and this is the final show of our three-part celebration of Nativity, the sacredness, the wonder, the terror, the journey of childbirth. This is Conrad Bishop.
And Elizabeth Fuller. And I've been immersed in the voices of 26 of our neighbors and thinking about my own childbearing and maybe even more about the woman who pushed me on that long, long journey a few inches down the birth canal.
At the winter solstice, at Christmas, at a time of beginnings.
We've left out the other couple billion stories we might have told.
And we've left out the myriad other things that people give birth to. But whether it's a baby or a poem or a casserole, it's a lot of work, it's messy, and it's a gift.
Celebrating Nativity, Shadow and Sun.
And it was scary, and it was insecure, and it was perfect, and I could feel it deep, going deep into my body. And, you know, yes, there's the, like, anatomical reality of the sensation on the nipples tightens the uterus and does all that, but it was really mind-blowing. Being a parent, just in general, has been kind of mind-blowing.
Et dixit illis angelus, nolita timora, eca evangelizo.
And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
The infant Buddha, visited by men of wisdom, hailed God of gods, God of gods.
Lord Krishna, adored by shepherds.
I remember just sitting and staring at her a lot. We would lay on the bed together and she'd be awake and then she'd be asleep and I would just be like watching her breathe and watching different muscles twitch on her body and her hands move and just recognize neurons exploring themselves.
I think the lack of sleep was certainly the most difficult thing.
There are these triangular shaped diapers that the poop falls out.
I would look at her and see her sleeping on the bed, and I couldn't comprehend what had just happened, that there was this new being. And I felt really depressed a lot of the time and really sad and overwhelmed.
Maria autem conservavit omnia verbi haec.
María, por su parte, observaba cuidadosamente
And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, in her heart, in her heart.
The first weeks. This is what they talk about. No sleep. Wonder. Coping with advice. Problems with nursing. Sleep. Helpful mothers. Allergies. What about crying? Sleep, connection, the naming, the people around, all the changes.
Oh my God. I cried incessantly. The feeling of joy was absolutely overwhelming. It was not postpartum depression. It was a feeling of joy. I cry when I experience joy. But I have never cried for 3 or 4 days straight. And I pretty much did. And I had a very sensible mother-in-law. She would say to me, Cecile, stop crying and eat your soup.
And when I got home from the hospital, I had her at 1:30 in the morning. I left the hospital at 10 the next morning and came home. And no one lived there anymore. And in fact, even my belongings had been moved. And I panicked.
But she was utterly, totally absorbing. Gary and I lay awake all that night just listening to her breathe because we couldn't believe that she was real, that such a perfect creature could have been possible, and that we were part of that was just the biggest miracle.
And the possibility of loss.
Then Herod was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem from 2 years old and under. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. They are not.
Well, I fear them dying.
He was out on the back deck, and he fell off the deck and fractured his skull.
I always light candles. I always talk to her. My current husband always remembers her with me.
He didn't think it was all that serious. And a couple of days later, the baby was actually dead inside me because nothing had been done, not enough had been done.
I mean, the first 10 years were huge for me, just huge moments of grief and remembering. And then that, too, began to just lessen.
Yes. Yes, his name is Sammy.
I feel it more now. I think I allow myself to feel more now.
And my son wanted to plant his own memorial to her, so he picked out a tiger lily.
I think I pushed it behind me a lot. Frida was probably 3 or so at the time. And I really focused on her, but I tend to be an upbeat person, and I just, I went on.
My middle daughter, Corey, actually almost drowned in the Russian River at about the age of 6, and was found tangled in a bush under the water by my husband, who brought her out. And
our big boy was killed in 1964, just before he went to swim in the Olympics, drunk driver down in Belvedere.
And we were hit head-on by another truck, and so we were sandwiched between two trucks.
I could not believe it. Somebody came, but by that time I knew instinctively what had happened because the parents of the other child called and came to the door to see how I was, and I knew then that they knew something that I didn't. And eventually the Marin County Sheriff came to the house.
But I do remember, like, oh my God, and this lot of steam, and after everything happened, which happened in slow motion, and Elisha and Josh, my son and stepson, got out of the truck that had rammed into us from the back, and they walked past us, and I remember Elisha saying, my whole family's dead, and walking past the car first, not seeing it because we're underneath the truck, and then coming back, and his voice was surreal.
I screamed, bloody murder, and then I just sat there. I was stunned, and my pastor was away on vacation. Bart was killed in August. My doctor was away on vacation, and we just sat there. I telephoned my mom and dad because they were out for dinner. It was a shock, terrible shock.
She was taken out of the car and put in an ambulance, even though I'd begged for them to wait for to get me out of the car too, so I could ride with her. We got her out of the back seat, and then she started vomiting and. And then they took her out of the window, the passenger's window, and strapped her. And we're, just extremely, extremely lucky.
Rachel plorans filios suos.
Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. They are not.
Because a lot of times people don't understand what women go through when they go through a miscarriage.
And then after Broggy died, I had Jeff go back and get his vasectomy reversed, and we were successful in getting pregnant again. But that one did not last either, and that was very, very hard because it felt like my last chance to have a baby, and it also gave me a vehicle, a place to express some of the grief I was still feeling about the loss of my son. I gave vent to it in a way that I didn't with the earlier miscarriages.
Jeremiah was probably 1.5, maybe 2 pounds. And he was so perfectly formed. He was very tiny, but it was just, he was so perfectly formed. And after he was born, I moved over and my husband climbed into the bed with me, and we just held him until we were ready to say goodbye.
Losing custody, especially in that time, my husband had a lot of connections, a lot of money. It's kind of like a movie. I move out. I go one weekend to pick him up. He's gone. The house is empty. I spend 5 years trying to find him, only to find out that my family knew where he was and his family knew where he was, and everybody thought it was better this way. And in that time, in the end of that 5 years, I found out that they had actually told him that I had died, so that he didn't have a real mommy anymore. And that set me into a huge, huge tailspin. And I did everything I could to get myself off this planet. And it didn't work. Still here.
Because there's fear involved. You don't know what you're facing. Yet you know it's survivable. There wouldn't be so many of us around.
Oh, many times. From every level, from the total paranoid fantasy level to real things like they might get drafted and have to go to war.
What I remember. Raising hell to get wheeled down the hall to look through the glass at my son. My God, that word. Son. The miracle of milk. I'm a successful animal. The thunk of the baseball against his tiny forehead and the weight outside X-ray. Asthma, he can't breathe, rush to the ER. She's a pearl, a beautiful pink pearl. Walking long blocks through the snow. Groceries, a toddler, a newborn, and a new cesarean scar. I'm not gonna make it. Waving goodbye to her at the airport. Long blonde hair. 9 months in France. And back off the plane comes a pixie-cut redhead. Cheekbones, 6-foot frame, deep voice. I see his father at 19 and fall in love again.
The shadow and the sun. I asked, what were the vivid moments in the growing up? For some, it's been a beautiful journey. For some, much harder. The labor goes on.
Et venit in spiritu in templum, et cum inducorent puerum Iesum parentis eius,
al tiempo inspirado por el Espíritu.
他受了圣灵的感动,进入圣殿.
And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing.
Spider-Woman took dirt, spit, made twins. She covered them and sang the creation song. They sat up and asked, Who are we? Why are we here? Why? Why?
I mean, it was this swirl of, this is my thing that I have to protect and take care of, and oh my God, this is a, like, independently willed being that right now has the imperial will of an infant. I mean, there's no other word for it. It is the imperial will. I want reality to be my way now. And she's a Leo with Aries rising and a Sag moon. She's a grand trine fire sign. So I knew I was going to be in for it. I just knew.
Well, there was one time when we were laying in the waterbed together. We were taking a nap together, and I looked at her, and she was just looking at me. And when I woke up, she was like this just incredible expression of delight. Just her whole organism, her whole body was just, oh, it's you. Kind of like the experience I had before she came out. Oh, it's you.
We were in the kitchen, and he must have been about 3. And I wanted him to do something, and he said no. And he slapped me, and he had a temper tantrum. And I remember I was so aghast, and I looked at him, and I just left him, and I walked out in the living room, and I sat down, and I thought, what do I do now? I just sat there a while, and he was screaming in the kitchen and, you know, pounding and having a real tantrum. And I thought, now I need to make the next step up and speak to him in a different way now. I remember that moment very, very well. Oh, you know, he's sniffing outside the nest and having a little glance out there. When it was really, I love that. I love that. It was wonderful.
Our oldest one, when she was about 18 months and saw her first Christmas tree, and she looked at it and came up to it, and it was really big. It was a very, very big tree, so it was huge to her. And she went, ooh, trot, 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 to another place and looked at it, ooh.
And he liked to see the Christmas trees. And I said, you want me to drive by, you know, where the Christmas trees are? And he said, you know, they're dead. I said, oh. He had learned that at the child care center where they had Christmas trees and it was dead, you know. I said, well, does that make you sad? He said, it makes the trees sad.
I think one struggle was when he started kindergarten, he was so resistant to being left alone, and he would hide under the teacher's desk and cry. And I was told I just should leave. And this went on for the first 9 months of his kindergarten experience. Then finally one day he said, you can go. And I'll never forget that.
Naomi's smile, Naomi's light that she emanates, seeing that she's not squashed down by her limitations in the physical plane. That's joy. And last year, she had a wonderful year. She was very included. She was invited to lots of birthday parties. Kids wrote her little letters, gave her little presents, said she was their friend. That was joy. She loves other kids. To see her light up and other kids respond, that's joy.
She was 15 or 16, and then I didn't see her physically for a long time. And when I did, I knew where she was going to be. And I went there, and I stood outside of this flower shop that she worked at, and I watched her working in the flower shop for a while, and before I went in to greet her again. And it was really neat to just see her being an adult and so self-sufficient and just gorgeous, drop-dead gorgeous.
When Nathaniel graduated from high school, it was a long haul for him through school. Mom, people just don't understand me. I'm so different. And he's mixed. He's black dad, you know, white Anglo-Irish mom kind of thing. And he had a lot of struggles with that. And the fact that we worked on that together, he knew exactly who he was. He had no problem connecting with anybody. And I remember that when he graduated and I watched all these people come up that had been around him, all his friends since the time he was like 7, I noticed in that moment that there were Asians and Blacks and Chicanos and white Anglos. And I mean, everybody around him, he drew in all this. And I just stood back and went, yeah, that's what it's about right there. There's no division whatsoever. There's no division. And my boy did that. And I helped. But he did that. And in that moment, I ran over to him and he goes, "Mom, we did it, we did it." And we fell on the grass, rolling around. My mother is going, "Mary Teresa, get up. Mary Teresa, people are watching you." I didn't care. And then his friends all dropped on the grass and all of us were rolling around together.
Sometimes I think Jimmy must have a very recent past life of her as the mother and me as the daughter, because God, can she be my mother? Mother, are you wearing underwear?
One of the most amazing things for me was to witness my daughter giving birth, birthing my grandson, and to watch your own child going through that process and wanting you to be there and relying on you.
And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The grace of God.
I had an old Mexican friend when I was in my 20s who said, "Hold them on your lap for the first 2 years. Just be there all the time. And then you will watch them get up and run away. They'll look over their shoulder, but they'll be gone."
There's something that happens when a woman pushes a baby out of her body, which is unbelievably hard to do, that pushes you to a limit of physical endurance and psychological endurance, because I can't think of many other situations where you feel like you can't do it and your body is going to split open and you are going to die and there is no way out. You know, there's no going back. And there's something psychologically that has to shift there for you to persevere and just go through it. I think there's something about that that awakens in you a power that you're going to need throughout your life as a mother, because that's only the beginning of things you're going to have to do that have that same effect of sort of ripping you open and pulling out of you a strength you didn't know you had or a wisdom.
It's the sense of connection that I felt to motherhood with a capital M, to all of the other women who have been pregnant and given birth from the dawn of time to the big mother herself, the birth mother herself who gives birth to all of us, and feeling like I embodied that spirit as I was going through those physical, very human acts. That was a blissful thing.
There are times when I know my daughter kind of goes, "Why in the world did you ever have me? You were too busy doing other things to really give me all the attention I really needed." And the answer is, well, probably my reasons weren't as good as they should have been, but Mother Nature has her own rhythm and her own agenda. And I think that I had a baby because the world needed the person that my daughter is, you know?
Something else. Childbirth. I wish it on the entire race. I think it would be wonderful if men could experience it for maybe even just a half an hour, because they would understand the purpose of the human neck. It connects the head with the body. I just read an amazing, I guess it was a response to a letter which had said, well, the reason that there are more male representatives in Congress is that, of course, we shed blood por la patria, and women don't shed as much blood. And she wrote back and she said, and what about the blood that we shed in childbirth? Don't you think that giving life is more important a priority than giving death?
But I do remember a thought that I had, maybe looking at him sleeping, as I took in the whole experience of what it was like to have him, and this was maybe when he was one or two, that it was like God had come to live with us. And we had an opportunity to experience and learn unconditional love and forgiveness and joy and all the things that I think of when I think of God. I don't mean in any particular religious God sense of a particular God, but my idea of that quality we all aspire to that is pure in a child.
And looked at his little fingers and just was totally immersed in this miracle.
The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people."
First mother was pregnant with twins. One was born from her. The other burst through her side. They buried her. From her body sprang the pumpkin vine, the maize, the bean.
This is Hitchhiking Off the Map. The voices you heard were Cynthia Mealy, Mimi Bagan, Betsy Rose, Betsy Yeager, Carol Vonick, Catherine Walker, Cecile Pineda, Cody Kirkham, Cynthia Brush, Diane Darling, Elizabeth Johnson, Gail Blum, Joy Wolfwoman, Karen Mortensen, Laurie Roth, Lorna Catford, Mary Tressa Farnham, Megan Wildflower, Morning Glory Zell, Nancy Mills, Pamela Maris, Pat Winters, Stella Mundy, Susan Uchatias, and Ula Minsel. Scriptural readings by Grace Fisher, Benjamin Zaragoza, and Thomasine Alexander. Thanks for funding to the National Endowment for the Arts and the Hitchhikers Guild.
Responses? Visit our website, www.independenteye.org. And all three of these programs are available on one CD, Nativity.
Next show, well, that'll be a surprise in keeping with the spirit of Nativity. This is Conrad Bishop.
And Elizabeth Fuller, wishing you again, always, joy in what you bring to birth and in the slow return of the sun.
I was terrified. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I know I can change him, and I can feed him, and I can do, but then all the questions. How do I teach this young man how to grow and how to learn? And then the other thing was, no, I need to protect him from all the things that were out there. And so I made myself kind of sick with the worry of it, and finally got to a point with my mother-in-law saying, oh, you worry too much. Just put him in bed, let him sleep, get him up, feed him, put him back to bed, let him sleep, get him up, feed him. The next things will come to you. And they did. The next things just did.